Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event between Paulo Costa and Marvin Vettori. Now, this is going to be a fun fight. I don't see how it's not. My first concern, my only concern, really, about this fight, and the person that's going to maybe struggle with it the most is Paulo Costa, because he's been out for a good while. And you've got to think, you know, he was 13-0 going into the Adesanya fight, and we're looking at 12 months of time plus where he's been kind of marinating in that feeling of the defeat. And we don't know where he's been since then in his mind. We don't know whether he doubts himself, whether he's going to be hesitant, you know, like we saw with Ngannou and Derek Lewis when they faced off against each other the first time. It's like that hesitation to put your foot on the gas because you don't know what you're going to walk onto. The benefit is that Marvin Vettori, who's obviously recently come off that loss to Adesanya as well, he is a workhorse. It's the best term for this kind of fighter. He is constantly working, constantly edging forward, constantly trying to find his way into this fight however possible. Now, these two guys, that there are a lot of reflections in their game. You've got a southpaw v orthodox. Vittori's southpaw, Paulo Costa's orthodox. They both are rear hand dominant. They like to throw that power rear hand over and over again, but they also have a lot of kicks off that back leg as well. So I think that given the fact that they're opposing stances and that opens up the power shots on both sides, both the rear punch and the rear leg, I think we're going to see them try and batter the hell out of each other pretty much for the first couple of rounds. And I think it's going to be Vettori pushing Costa to work. And this is where I think the fight starts to tip, because the thing is with Paulo Costa, and I know I've been critical of him in the past when he was fighting Adesanya, and I didn't mean to upset or offend anybody in that way, but I said he would look like a bodybuilder by comparison, and he did. You know, I'm not saying he's a bad striker, but he's not anywhere near the level of Israel Adesanya. I've been talking about Anderson today at training. He's not anywhere near that level of Adesanya as far as the comprehension of that striking range. And you could see this every time Adesanya feinted and moved, he was getting Costa to bite on stuff. We saw the same thing with Marvin Vettori. So they've both suffered the same fate. The point of difference is that Marvin Vettori took a beating for five rounds and gave a good account of himself, and Paulo Costa didn't really get started. Marvin Vettori is going to be the one that's pushing this fight. He's going to be the one that's walking Paulo Costa down. So we're going to see Paulo Costa reactive. If he comes out aggressive because it's been 12 months, 13 months since he's been in there, and he starts putting his foot on the gas, then there's a risk of him expending all that energy in the first 10 minutes. And then we've got the third round and the championship rounds where we know full well Marvin Vettori can work through those. Even tired, even against Jack Hermanson in the last round or against Kevin Holland, he's still going. He's still throwing that left hand over and over again. Or he's still shooting for takedowns and muscling his way through, you know, deficits in technique where they might happen to be. I think Paulo Costa needs to put a good stamp on the first two rounds, but without expending too much energy. Because if he lets Marvin Vettori get away with those first two rounds and get good momentum in this fight, Vittori's just going to keep getting better as the fight goes on. And that's going to make it more difficult for Costa to get into it. If Costa comes out and he's a bit more economical with his attack, maybe attacks in shorter bursts, I think he can land some shots that would hurt Vettori. But getting excited and trying to get the finish is probably not going to be a good idea, because if that doesn't happen like it didn't against Yoel Romero, that's when it starts to look like he's going to struggle. And the other thing with Marvin Vettori is that he's got a grappling game which we don't really see from Paulo Costa. Now, I know people are going to say, you know, he's graded in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and of course he's going to be good on the ground, etc., etc. That all changes when fatigue sets in. Now, Marvin Vettori going into the Kevin Holland fight had 11 takedowns total in his UFC career. When he fought Kevin Holland, he got 11 takedowns in that fight. If he's able to put that kind of pace on Paulo Costa, if he's able to wear on him and make those big bodybuilder muscles blow up and fill with lactic acid, that's going to make him fatigued. And that's the point where he starts to kind of wilt and positions start to become more difficult to get out of. And Marvin Vettori's still going and he's still muscling through positions. I mean, honestly, if you look at the fight against Kevin Holland, and I talk about it on my breakdown show for BT, which is still on YouTube, you can find it. He constantly worked for takedowns in that fight. Marvin Vettori is not easy to discourage. So even if you defend the first two or three takedowns, he's still going to keep working to get it. And in those moments where something's not quite working, this is where Vettori's condition and his physical strength come into play. He powers his way through things. And one other thing as well is, so Vettori's always been a middleweight in the UFC, but before he came to the UFC, he was a welterweight. And there was a point where he moved up because he'd missed weight and he was starting to kind of really hit the welterweight limit. And I think now he's moved up to middleweight, he's grown into the weight class, but he's also not overgrown into the weight class, if that makes sense. He's not in a position where he's going to really push to gas himself out. Like, he's able to fuel himself for 25 minutes and work at a ferocious pace. And he's also very comfortable with working tired. And that's not something I can say for everybody. Like, I think back to his fight against Hermansson, and I think back to his fight against Holland. And it's evident that he is tired. You know, he's still going. And they're the moments where I feel like doubt starts to creep in with Paulo Costa, when he starts to feel like physically he can't hold his ground anymore, when he starts to feel like his arms are heavy and that doubt starts to set in. That's when maybe the effort to defend the takedown might be let me just sit down here for a minute. Let me just lay down here for a minute. You know, they're the moments where you struggle to get back up, when you become accepting of those moments. And that's what fatigue does. What's the saying? Fatigue makes cowards of us all. It's very true. No matter how strong you are in your mind, when you get in there and you start to, and you wilt and you're not done your conditioning, or you just physiologically, you know, you're just not able to work hard for 25 minutes, like I would very much doubt Paulo Costa is, that's when someone like Marvin Vettori becomes a nightmare. I know I've said this in the past, but Marvin Vettori is the brown belt on the mat at jiu-jitsu that the black belts don't want to roll with. Because whatever he doesn't have, like in those moments where you're struggling to finish an armbar or a triangle, or you've got that choke on and there, this person would normally just give up because, oh, well, you've got me and I'm tired. Marvin Vettori is not that guy. He is going to fight out of everything. He's going to, even when you're drilling takedowns, he's going to defend every takedown that you're drilling. He's just that kind of individual. You can tell that in his training videos, in his interviews, he brings this intensity. And I think that could be overwhelming for Paulo Costa, especially when fatigue starts to set in. The one other thing that we have to bear in mind as well with Marvin Vettori is that he is very good at attacking the neck. You know, good guillotines, good rear naked chokes. I don't necessarily think he's going to be able to sub Paulo Costa, at least not until the later rounds. But I do think that attacking the airways of an opponent that's already gasping for breath is going to feel claustrophobic to them. So anytime he can clamp on a neck, lean his forearm across his neck, start working that rear naked choke, he doesn't even need to get it. He's forcing Costa to use cardio tokens. He's forcing him to keep putting money in the meter and keep him going. And that's ideal for Marvin Vettori because he can work tired. Now, if we just switch back over to Paulo Costa for a minute, I think one of the keys in this one is going to be his kick, because Paulo Costa throws everything into every shot, at least what it seems. And he bridges the gap very well by throwing a powerful body kick and then falling in with a swarm of punches. Now, if he can start targeting that kick to the midsection of Vettori, it's going to do the same thing as those takedown attempts from Vettori. It's going to fatigue him. It's going to weaken his body. It's going to upset his breathing patterns. Like, inside leg body shots with that back leg for Paulo Costa are going to be money, because anything he can do to either upset the balance, that lead leg of Marvin Vettori, or he can damage the midsection, it's going to start to affect him. And it's going to start to maybe allow Paulo Costa to maybe not even hold the center of the octagon, but maybe hold Vettori off enough so he's not just walking forward constantly. When you're fighting someone like Vettori, who has such a high pace, and you know that you're not a high pace fighter, you can't throw pace onto the table as a weapon. You've got to use something else. And I would say probably Paulo Costa has got a bit more crack in his shots. I would say he's got a bit more power in that body kick, just because he's got better body mechanics than Vettori. If he throws too much, though, he's going to get tired. And this is where he's got to pick his shots. And not picking his shots too much and being hesitant, because then he's going to get walked over by Vittori's pace and volume. Let me just have a quick look at the stats. I honestly think it's a really interesting fight. And like, I think the similarities in their game make this a very exciting one, given the fact that they both like to throw heavy. They both like to throw hard. I think Vettori can extend that better over 25 minutes, but I think Paulo Costa gives you more bang for your buck in the early goings of the fight. And I think his variety of shots, working the body and swinging and coming up the center as well, he has this nice rotation in his midsection. He generates a lot of power. You can tell that. Okay. So 13-1 for Paulo Costa, coming off the first loss of his career, which is always interesting. We don't know where he's at. We don't know how much red wine he might be drinking the night before. I mean, that is a bodybuilding tactic if I've ever heard one. Bodybuilders like to drink red wine before they go on stage because it makes them lean. It's a diuretic. Anyway, Marvin Vettori, 17-5-1, had a couple of losses on his record. You know, is a stalwart of this division, has always fought hard even in his losses. You know, we're talking decision losses to Antonio Carlos Jr., to split decision to Adesanya, and a unanimous, of course, and then a draw against Omari Akhmadov. But in all of those fights, he's always in there in the mix. He's a blood and guts kind of fighter. And I don't mind guys picking up losses because he's the kind of person that takes that into the gym and works through it, because he's not the most gifted of martial artists. But what he's got, he makes it work. And I admire that no end. And he's also got, you know, Rafael Cordeiro there, who's, if you can program an animal to do Muay Thai, he is the guy to do it, from his old shoot box days. Okay, where was I? About the same height, 6'1" for Costa, has an inch height advantage, but he has a 72-inch reach, which always blows my mind. But then Vettori's not got a particularly long reach at 74, and he does tend to pull his punches a bit short as well. So, they might have to be pretty close to land. This is why I think the kick for Paulo Costa is going to be key, because he's going to be able to hammer that in from a distance that Marvin Vettori is going to have to walk through with punches to get to him. Orthodox v. Southpaw, which obviously is very interesting. Now, the striking output for Paulo Costa is considerably higher on this, 7.03 compared to 3.88 for Vettori. But then if you look at their average fight time, Paulo Costa's average fight time is much less. So if you double his average fight time, then you've got a half his strike landed per minute. And this is why, again, I feel like there's going to be a sway in conditioning here, because if Paulo Costa gets, 7.5 minutes into a fight and he's throwing, he's landing 7 strikes per minute, that's a big output to maintain for the rest of the fight. And we know Vettori can do that. So although that is a high striking output, there is a concern there. And if you look at the strikes absorbed per minute, he's taken a fair few shots as well. When it comes to the grappling, Paulo Costa doesn't really offer as much. No submission attempts per 15 minutes, no takedowns per 15 minutes, no takedown accuracy, but 80% takedown defense. So we know what we're getting from Paulo Costa. It would be very, very surprising if he decides he wants to wrestle or grapple, because that would be a massive expenditure of energy, which would be better used throwing kicks and punches. For Marvin Vettori, he averages a couple of takedowns per 15 minutes, but that's based on his whole UFC career. And as I said, the Kevin Holland fight was a standout, and we know he can go for 11 takedowns. Hang on a minute. That's not even going to be an accurate stat, because he landed 11 takedowns in that fight. Bear with me. He attempted 17. So in 25 minutes, he can almost shoot a takedown a minute. So you've got to think that is going to be exhausting for Costa, even if he defends every one of those. We've also got the neck attacks in the scrambles, which means that Costa's not necessarily out of danger if he is scrambling back to his feet or defending takedowns. And he's also got 78% takedown defense of his own. So even if Costa, for whatever reason, maybe he gets clipped and rocked, maybe he wants to try and grab hold of Vettori and take him down, that might not be very easy to do either. And, he's also running into guillotines at the same time. I honestly wouldn't like to try and pick this one. I'm leaning slightly towards Marvin Vettori, but I think that's just because I think he has a better handle of MMA overall for 25 minutes. And maybe not MMA overall generally, but over 25 minutes, which means Costa's got to influence that 25 minutes in some way, either by winning in big chunks and then resting the rest of the time, or getting him out of there as quickly as he can. which I don't think is going to be easy to do because nobody else in the UFC has done it yet. It should be a really good fight. I am looking forward to it. Enjoy this one, and I'll see you next time.